about their special. That was a very nice special. I did enjoy it. Did enjoy it very much. Well, Aaron and Timothy and Jared, I hope you're listening, because I'm sure that tonight you're going to hear something you can understand. That's the nice thing that I found over the years of listening to our brother. He always preached the simple gospel. Our brother Marvin Eaton.
Seems like my brother has already laid it upon me. So, anyway, I'm happy to be here with you tonight. A number of thoughts have went through my mind. I have listened this day to our opening prayer service and to the preaching service this afternoon. And I've noted that in both of these times of worship together, several things came to the attention, and many of them centered upon the problems of our day, the problems our people are having, and the burdens that are distressing many. And even some were so heavily burdened that they felt drawn down. They felt insufficient. After conference, when I came back, I felt very concerned for the needs of our people, young and old and children, each and every one. And I felt direction to preach a sermon centered around what I feel a rather marvelous vision that Brother Placido Cuyoc had in Yucatan earlier this year. And I don't intend to go in all to the phases of this particular vision tonight, but it's something that we should be mindful of, each one of us. One little line I would like to read from that particular vision. It said he was overcome with the impression that there was a great need within the church. This dear brother was overcome with that impression. And let me tell you, there is a great need within the Church of Christ. Today, in the time of fellowship that we had, I visited with some of our various members, and we talked of some of the difficulties of the day in which we're living, and the burdens and the trials, and our concern. And I think there is an honest concern, and we prayed for it, that there might be a greater outpouring of the gifts of the Spirit. And this brother said to me, well, what are we going to do? How can we arrive at certain points? And I hope tonight that I might be able to present some of the simple truths that might help us. Because I feel that we're in a place, a lot of times it's referred to as a dilemma. We each have burdens. We have decisions, important decisions to make. Some about what we're going to do, some about our livelihood, some about our afflictions, our illnesses, and then just the several problems that exist within the church. Maybe in locals, maybe in other lands. And so there are some things that we must do. Also, earlier this day, I discussed with my brother, who happens to be in charge tonight. And that was of a particular experience that I had in this very room, probably 20 years ago, sitting about back where Brother Bill Malone is, somewhere toward the back of the room. And practically all of you have heard it. And so you're going to be patient. You're all going to hear it again tonight. And in this particular service, it was a rather exceptional prayer service because our heart had reached out for the needs of certain people. And the Lord heard. And it was an outstanding prayer service. And I had cause to arise, and I believe it was under the power and the direction of the Spirit, and to give an admonition that we had partaken of some marvelous things that day. And we were now upon the threshold of far greater things. But here I stand before you, and I can't tell you the exact years, but it's probably around 20. And yet we have yet to cross over that threshold. And I had that experience in Independence, Missouri, at a similar service, and at Phoenix, Arizona. And I had cause to say that we were upon the threshold of far greater things. But yet I still find that we have yet to cross over that threshold. And my brother said, how do we do it? So perhaps it is time that we search out some of these simple things and find just what to do. I have a scripture that I'd like to read tonight from the book of Galatians. This is found in the 5th chapter and in verses 16 and 17. Now the Apostle Paul, many years ago, wrote to the churches in Galatia, to a people that were converted unto Jesus Christ, who were at one time idol worshipers and followers of things far removed from the gospel of Jesus Christ. But they were moved and become a part of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But he had cause to write to these people to give them some important information. And he said, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And I believe there is a clue. Everyone, you young children, you young boys here on the front row, we walk in the Spirit after the way that God wants us to walk. And it says, we shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For in this world, ever about us is the lust of the flesh, trying to take its toll. That evil one is chipping away at every weakness we have. But do you know that the Creator in the beginning gave unto men weakness? Why? That they might be humble. So he wants every one of us, little children, adults, grandparents, mothers and fathers, to be humble before him. And I really think we need to work on our humility, because God can work with a humble people. There's got to be a way in the time we live. Let's read on. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other. In other words, the way of the world, the sins of the world, the lust of the flesh is contrary to the Spirit of God in Christ. And it says, so that you cannot do the things that you would like to do. So sometimes we may find ourselves doing things that we really shouldn't do. So we really need to take a quick inventory and start looking why I'm doing those things I shouldn't be doing, because it must be after the flesh, because it's contrary to the Spirit of God. If we follow the Spirit of God, we won't be walking after the flesh. Let's turn to the book of Romans. This is found in the 8th chapter and verses 5 through 10. And again, I like the plainness of this teaching. For they that are after the flesh, and listen to this closely, do mind the things of the flesh. In other words, if we follow the wrongs of this world, then we mind those things. That's what becomes foremost in our lives. But they that are after the Spirit, they mind the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. So to follow after the sins of the world is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, there's something I would like to touch briefly upon. Life. What kind of life is that? I believe it's eternal life, the promise of it. And it says, and peace. This afternoon, you heard read a passage of Scripture among my many favorite ones. And he read one verse from Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And it says here, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, in a world that is certainly full of turmoil, and nobody can deny that today, and this turmoil at times creeps into the church even, but God wants peace. He wants you to be at peace, and you. He wants that peace to be a part of our life. But sometimes with the burdens that we have, we don't partake of the beautiful peace that God has placed there for us to enjoy. Seems like a few things come back to your remembrance at time. And I thought of a statement of a professional golfer. And he said, we're here for such a little while, so take time to smell the flowers. So we need to take time to do the important things daily. Praying is one of them. Being kind to one another is another one. Dealing justly with one another. Being concerned for the needs of one another. I could go on and on. This scripture does say to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now that means if we follow after the works of the flesh, we cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now this Spirit of God needs to dwell in us at all times. Now if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now do you have any problem understanding what that means? I don't think even our children understand that, having problems. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And that's what we want. Life because of righteousness. I would like to turn to Mosiah, the first chapter, verses 119 and 120. It's found on page 218. Some wise words of King Benjamin of old. For the natural man is an enemy to God and has been from the fall of Adam and will be forever and ever. And that's where we find ourselves, in a world, and all about us is those all too often who are an enemy to God. But the natural man is an enemy to God. But listen to the next verse. But if he yields to the enticings of the Holy Spirit and putteth off the natural man, put away the man of sin, and becometh a saint through the atonement of Christ the Lord, and becometh how? What do you think it becometh like? As a child. Did you hear that? And then it says, becomes submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love, willing to submit to all things which the Lord shall see it fit to inflict upon him, even as a child doth submit to his father. And children are to submit to their father. You know, there was a little part of that vision that Placido had, and then he had an experience of certain scriptures that came to his attention, and he made 8 points. And 3 of those points I want to touch on. And one is the responsibility of parents to God and to their children. 4, for the duties of our youth, and listen to this, toward God and their parents. Prayed for our little ones, their duties to God and to their parents. Now we want to remember, each and every child here does have a duty to their parents. They have a duty to God, the youth, the little children. And you parents have a duty to raise these little ones up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And you, each one here, have got a duty to set a good example before them. Because it says here that you submit to God even as a child does submit to his father, and you must become as a child. I want to read one from the book of Mark. And this is found in the 10th chapter of the book of Mark. And this is found in verses 13 through 16. And we find in this particular reading that they brought young children to Jesus. And the disciples of Jesus rebuked the people that brought these little children. And in verse 14, but when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. So Jesus thought rather highly of little children. And so that's why I say tonight that I feel there is a way out of the dilemma that we find ourselves in all too often. The scripture says we must become as little children in purity, in attitude. And then Jesus took these little children up in his arms and he blessed them. Now in the 10th chapter of the book of Alma, on page 351, I would like to read a little about submissiveness and some other related scriptures with it. And this is found in, starting with verse 27. And Alma gives a little background, I feel, that is important. And now, my brethren, I wish from the inmost part of my heart, yea, with great anxiety, even unto pain, that you would hearken unto my words, cast off your sins, and not procrastinate. And procrastinate means to put off the day of your repentance. So no matter what time in life, if we have wrongdoings, don't put off the day of your repentance. But that ye would humble yourselves before the Lord and call on his holy name and watch and pray continually. That must become a part of each one of our lives. And it seems like, again, we're in one terribly busy world. Everybody is rushing pell-mell in every direction. You get on the freeways in many of these cities, and you wonder if you'll even survive. People going to and from work, leaving at the last minute, and rushing to make up time, violating speed laws. We had in a sermon today that the laws of God, part of them is the speed laws too. Traffic laws. Anyway, we need to humble ourselves and call on his holy name and watch and pray continually. that ye may not be tempted above that which ye can bear, and be led of the Holy Spirit, and listen to this, becoming humble, meek, submissive, patient, full of love and long-suffering, having faith on the Lord, having a hope that ye shall receive eternal life, having the love of God always in your hearts, that ye may be lifted up at the last day and enter into His rest. And so I find to me, again, a comforting word, that one day we might enter into rest. There is promise of a beautiful life yet ahead, free from old sorrow, free from old sin, free from old death. There will be no weeping or mourning, for the former things are promised that one day they will have passed away. So let's use today well, that we might be at that beautiful place someday. I would like to turn back now to the book of Mosiah, the first chapter on page 218, and I'd like to read it. Start with 121. And moreover, I say unto you that the time shall come when the knowledge of a Savior shall spread throughout every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. The time will come when that knowledge will spread throughout the whole face of the earth. And behold, when that time cometh, none shall be found blameless. And I want you to listen to this carefully. Before God, except it be little children, only through repentance and faith on the name of the Lord God Omnipotent. So we must not forget that. In the book of Matthew, the 18th chapter, first five verses, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And I've had cause to say on numerous occasions concerning this particular reading. And I know the disciples really wanted to know who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And they probably thought it might be the one that is maybe the oldest or the most wise or one of them because of their goodly walk of life. And I know Jesus gave them the shock of their lives, because Jesus called a little child unto him and sat him in the midst of them. He took this little child and sat him among the disciples. And he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as a little child, ye shall not even enter the kingdom of heaven. Now that is the way you and I are to become, converted and become as a little child. And so I feel this is a part of the way that we must work on very fervently. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself, I touched on another thing that Alma said, be submissive to the working of the Spirit, be humble. And it said, whosoever shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. That's who is greatest. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me. Now Jesus Christ, when he spoke to the people upon this continent, and I'd like to turn to 3 Nephi now, it's found on page 634, and I'd like to read 32 through 34. Behold, verily, verily, I say unto you, I will declare unto you my doctrine. And this is my doctrine, and it is the doctrine which the Father hath given unto me. Now, when we read in the Bible, we find Jesus Christ saying the reason he came here was to do the will of the Father, to keep his commandments. He came here to set an example in all things, as we can read about in the Book of Mormon, like in 2 Nephi, the 13th chapter. He set an example of baptism. And he said, this is my doctrine, and it is the doctrine which the Father hath given unto me. So the doctrine that Christ left here is what the Heavenly Father had given unto him. And I bear record of the Father, and the Father beareth record of me, and the Holy Ghost beareth record of the Father and me, and I bear record that the Father commandeth all men everywhere to repent and believe in me. Now that believing in Jesus Christ isn't just saying that I believe that Jesus Christ exists. That isn't alone what it means. Believing means that you're willing to follow as he walked. Do you know, we heard another one of my favorite scriptures today. That brother really kind of laid a nice background. And one verse of that was, Jesus Christ said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. We got to learn of Jesus Christ. Taking his yoke means we're willing to walk with him. A yoke keeps, like two animals of old, walking in the same way. Oxen that they used to use on, they walked in the same way because of the yoke upon their neck. And we're to be yoked to Jesus Christ. In other words, we're to walk in the path that he trod, in the way that he trod, on that straight and narrow path that can take us to eternal life. And whoso believeth in me and is baptized, the same shall be saved, and they are they who shall inherit the kingdom of God. Let's skip down to 39. And again I say unto you, you must repent and become as a little child. Now Jesus thought pretty highly of these little children. I'll tell you what, this preacher tonight kind of thinks kind of highly of them too, you know. I'm glad that the Lord saw fit to make little children, to have something to kind of gladden the hearts of we who are older. And become as a little child and be baptized in my name, or ye can in no wise receive these things. The wonderful promises that he laid out for you and I to receive. And again I say unto you, ye must repent and be baptized in my name, and become as a little child, or you can in no wise inherit the kingdom of God. Now that's the way we're to become. And even though we may have repented, that we may have been baptized, all is not done. In this same scripture, you didn't come that far, save it were for the words of Jesus Christ. And you must press onward and forward, feasting upon the words of Jesus Christ, for the words of Jesus Christ will tell all of you what you should do. Now we want to know how we might better ourselves. We want to know how we might draw more closely to God in Christ and partake more fully of the gifts of the Spirit. And this is one of the ways of preparation. Verily, verily, I say unto you that this is my doctrine, and whoso buildeth upon this, buildeth upon my rock, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now I'd like to turn to the 8th chapter of this same book of Nephi, found on page 648. I might tell you a little of the story here, as I've oftentimes brought to the attention of the people. This was at a time that Jesus Christ had taught a people. He had taught them about many of the important truths. 5th and 6th and 7th chapters of Matthew. Of Matthew and also of 3rd Nephi. I'm thinking both ways. And one is a Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus came here and taught these people the same way. And he saw that they were tired. He says, go to your homes, ponder upon these things. I'm going to return on tomorrow. But as he looked at this multitude of people, they were in tears. And I find this is one of the most beautiful, marvelous experiences that we have written. As if they were that he would tarry a little longer. And Jesus Christ had compassion for them. And he looked out on this body of people, and he says, I see that you want me to show unto you the same things that I showed unto your brethren in Jerusalem. And I see, and note this little clause here, important for young and old, I see that your faith is sufficient that I heal you. That seems like a nice thing to work upon. That our faith might become stronger, that it might be sufficient. Let's read verse 9. And it came to pass that they, when he had thus spoken, all the multitude with one accord did go forth with their sick and their afflicted and their lame and with their blind and with their dumb and with all they that were afflicted in any manner. And he did heal them, every one as they were brought unto him. Death, the blind, the afflicted, but their faith was sufficient. So we need to work on perhaps a few things. And after this, it came to pass that he commanded that their little children should be brought. And so, now I want you to all picture this. This is a beautiful story. And so the parents brought their little children, and they sat them round about Jesus. And this kind of picture of this, it's evidently all outside, and they sat them all around Jesus, all these little children. And then he commanded that all the people kneel down. And he knelt and prayed one of the most beautiful prayers that was ever uttered. It says, eye has not seen and ears have not heard what Jesus Christ uttered. It can't even be written what he prayed to the Heavenly Father concerning this people, the house of Israel. And they bore record of this marvelous experience. And he taught them. He caused them to arise, really not actually teaching them that then, but through his prayer. And they heard this marvelous prayer. And it says that they were overcome with joy. You know, in the vision of Lehi and Nephi, as they press forward, grasping the rod of iron, which is the word of God, and go and partake of the fruit of this tree, which is a representation of the love of God. And Nephi and Lehi, when they partook of it, Lehi said, it was a joyful experience. He was happy. I'm talking about some of that joy right here. These people partook of that joy, and they were overcome. And then he commanded them to arise. And he took their little children one by one and bless them. And I want you to notice, this is a nice experience. Verse 25. Well, I'll read 24. And when he had done this, he wept again. And he spake unto the multitude, and said unto them, behold,
your little ones. And they were all about Jesus. And listen closely. As they looked to behold, they cast their eyes toward heaven. And what did they see? And they saw the heavens open. Just picture this, if you may. And they saw angels descending out of heaven, as it were in the midst of fire. And they came down and encircled those little ones about. Now that was an experience. Encircled those little ones about with angelic beings. And they were encircled about with fire, that holy fire that wouldn't hurt anybody that was righteous and wouldn't hurt these little children. And the angels did minister unto them. Now, how about that? The angels did minister unto them, and the multitude did see and hear and bear record. And they know that their record is true, for they all of them did see and hear, every man for himself. And there was about 2,500 souls that did consist of men, women, and children. On Sunday of this week, on sacrament service, Brother McIndoe bore a testimony concerning a brother in Mexico, Mario. And this brother and his young son went to cut firewood. And I may not remember every detail Brother McIndoe did, but I asked him today to verify that it was at least accurate before I decided to use it tonight. And as they went to cut firewood, this Mario said to his son, he evidently, and I'm sure of this and I had forgotten, but he felt very heavily burdened, just like you and I have felt heavily burdened. And Mario said to his son, "I feel that we must kneel and pray." So he prayed to God. And I'm sure he unburdened his heart. And then when he opened his eyes, about them were angels. All about them. Here this happened many years ago. It happened again, not too long ago. It mentioned here too about ministering spirits. And I want to turn to a little short reading over in 3 Nephi of this same book of Nephi. I don't happen to have it written down. I got to find it. It's on page 622. And I want to show a person who was a marvelous person. And incidentally, another point comes to my memory here from what Brother Placido gave for us to think upon and to pray over. Pray for the responsibility and the well-being of the pastors and ministry. Now, I'm going to read about a person, his ministry here. And that is another charge that we need to pray concerning our ministry. They need your prayers. Now on page 622, and I'd like to, Nephi found in the people here a great hardness. And he wanted to preach unto them remission of sin through faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 58, and he did minister many things unto them, and all of them cannot be written, and a part would not suffice. And Nephi did minister with power and with great authority. And it came to pass that they were angry with him because he had this power, even because he had greater power than they. For it was not possible that they could disbelieve his words. And I find that's kind of a nice place to be in. If you could preach to any type of a people and they couldn't disbelieve your words, but they were still angry. For so great was his faith on the Lord Jesus Christ that angels did minister unto him daily. And I wanted to bring that out, how angels can work. Perhaps this needs to be an experience that we too could enjoy or need. And in the name of Jesus did he cast out devils and unclean spirits, and even his brother did he raise from the dead, hath he been stoned and suffered death by the people. And the people saw it and did witness of it, and were angry with him because of his power. And he did also do many more miracles in the sight of the people in the name of Jesus. Incidentally, on down in this reading, he did convert a number unto the Lord. But I wanted to share that with you too, because it said angel ministration can happen in many ways. And these little ones were encompassed to God. And I like that beautiful story. I have two more verses to read, and then we will close. And this is 18th chapter of Matthew, verses 10 and 11. And I've spoken quite a little bit about the importance of becoming as little children, becoming converted and become as a little child. And Jesus Christ thought highly of them because he set that little child in their midst as the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now I would like to read verse 10 and 11. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. Now that is a pretty nice position to be in. For the Son of Man is come to save that which is lost. Not the little children. They're all right. We who are older need to repent. And I hope and pray that maybe I have brought you a few things this night that might be beneficial to you.
Perhaps today is fast approaching when we'll each need the daily ministration of angels to endure and do the works of God. Shall we close this evening? We have one announcement, and that is tomorrow we'll meet again at 9 o'clock in the morning in a prayer service, and please come in a prayerful attitude. Begin before you come. Number 338 is the closing song. Would you stand once again when we close? It is our desire that we may be able to, in the time we have remaining with thee here in Colorado, at this reunion, to perhaps draw closer unto thee, unto thyself. It is our desire to walk across that threshold, to be the kind of people that you desire us to be. We do pray that you will help us to be humble and to be submissive unto thy will. Help us with our weakness and faith. Guide us in our thoughts, we may not offend thee. We do pray now that as we part and go our separate ways, that your Holy Spirit will be with us. May we become like those little children. they may be worthy, Father, to serve Thee, to have the ministration of angels, to see our sick raised, to be a blessing in this world that has no hope in Thee, we pray. We ask these favors in the name of our Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.